Good morning.
Good morning.
We haven't had a crowd this size in quite some time. Very nice to see our regular members here, and we're blessed with so many visitors. Very glad that you're worshiping with us today. Couple of announcements and prayer requests before we get started. Lisa requested prayers for her daughter Tia and her boyfriend's family. Most of the family has COVID, even the ones that have been vaccinated. Also, Tia has re-injured her knee, and Lisa requests prayers for her. Robin Perry has requested prayers for a friend of her, Kristen Stevens, lost her mom. And so she requests prayers for that. And also, we've been praying for Judy Shattuck's sister, Patty. She has had to have a blood transfusion, and so we need to continue to remember her. Also, many of you remember Verenia Flores. She has sent in an email saying how she has missed us, and she has been away due to, the COVID ever since the COVID pandemic, and she wanted prayers for her and her husband. They are moving to Colorado, and I got to take these off to see. And she appreciates all the cards, texts, and warm wishes that she's received from the members of the church. She says, you are a special group of people, and I can see God living in all of you. Thank you for making me feel so welcome during her time in Las Vegas. Amen. And request prayers for her as she moves to Colorado. Let's go to God in prayer before we get started in our lesson on behalf of these people. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We come right now with some special request on behalf of these individuals. We ask that you be with Lisa's daughter, Tia, not only as they deal with COVID like many people are, but also that as she's re-injured her knee, we ask that the doctors are able to treat that properly and get her back up in action as soon as possible. Dear God, we ask that you be with her boyfriend's family, who so many of them have contacted COVID. We ask that you comfort them and give them good health to fight off the illness. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Robin Perry's friend, Kristen, on the loss of her mother. That is very, very tough to deal with. We hope that Robin can be of comfort to the family at this time, and we ask that you be with them. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Judy's sister, Patty. She's been in our prayers. She has been in and out of the hospital recently. She's most recently received a blood transfusion, and we hope that this will be everything that she needs. We ask that you continue to be with her as she heals and gets stronger. Dear God, be with us as we continue our worship to you, as we get into this lesson. We ask that you open all of our hearts and minds to receive your word. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be looking at the passage found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. We've had sermons on this before. We have looked at this in depth, but we haven't exhausted our look. We could probably have sermons on this passage 4 weeks in a row and still not cover all that there is to cover, and have somebody else come up and cover it, and they would point out different things in it. Paul wrote, and he was writing to Timothy in this passage. He says, preach the word. It's a commandment. It's an encouragement. It's everything. preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul says an awful lot in those few verses, as he's telling Timothy and as he's telling us today. What is he saying? He is telling Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word of God. Case closed. That's all important. Preach the word. He told Timothy, this is the same thing that Jesus told the apostles in what we call the Great Commission. Right before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he gave his 12 apostles the Great Commission. And he's basically telling them, preach the word. Go everywhere into the world preaching that word. Preaching the word is a qualification for an elder. It's not just for us, but to be a qualified elder, you have to be able to preach the word. In 1 Timothy and in Titus, Paul mentions this. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, it says, a bishop, which is also translated elder, overseer, shepherd. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. How can you have an elder shepherding the Christians that is not able to handle the word of God, able to teach others? And in Titus, for the qualification of an elder, he tells Titus, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he's not going to stray. He's not going to add to or take away. He's not going to come up with his own ideas, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You've got to be sound in the word to be able to teach, to be able to do those things. One, you've got to be able to recognize false doctrine, to be able to exhort and convict. When? Paul addresses when to do this to Brother Timothy. He says, be ready in season and out of season. He's basically telling him, when it's easy, you preach the word when it's easy. But you know what, Timothy? You're going to have to preach the word sometimes when it's not easy, to people that want to hear it and people that may not want to hear it. It's easy to preach about God's love. It's easy to preach about the sacrifice Jesus made for us. But when you start talking to people about lifestyles, about behaviors that might need to be corrected, you're starting to step on toes. Who are you to tell me how I... Paul's addressing that. You preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. You preach to people that want to hear it. Preach to people that don't want to hear it. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter says basically the same thing. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That's teaching. It may not be book, chapter, and verse, although you can give a defense like that. Many people think, oh, I can't teach. Can you answer a person's question? Why you believe the way you do? It's just responding to people. You may be the closest thing to religion that somebody sees, and they're drawn to that. You may be the closest thing to a Bible that they have. And when they have religious questions, they're going to come to you. You be ready. That's preaching the word. You didn't realize you were a teacher. Didn't realize you were a teacher, did you, Curtis? Didn't realize you gave a sermon. If you had to come up here, you'd crumble. You preach the sermon all the time by answering people's questions. Who to? Who do we preach this word to? Everybody. Whoever will listen and whoever won't listen. We preach to our family. There's people that I know in my family, I would love for them to be able to hear that message. Friends, I bet you we all could make a list of people we would love to share the gospel with. Co-workers, neighbors, strangers need to hear the gospel. Talked about the Great Commission earlier. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things." This is not a one-time session. It's a lifestyle. It's a process. You don't sit down with somebody and teach them all the things that Jesus had commanded at one time. I'm still learning them. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, we see also who to teach that word to. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Where it just keeps replicating itself. That this verse explains how we're Christians today. Amen. Every one of us in here that have put Christ on in baptism, every one of us that are a Christian, this verse explains. For 2,000 years, people have been hearing the Word of God, passing it to others. Amen. And somebody has taught us. Somebody or people have been influential in us turning and becoming a Christian. How do we do it? We convince. We rebuke. Convincing is a lot easier than rebuking. Or at least to me it is. Exhorting, encouraging, with all long suffering and teaching. We do it patiently, lovingly, sincerely. Not if they disagree, just get louder. Not if they don't understand it the first time, throw our hands up, oh, you'll never figure it out. We don't teach our children like that. Hopefully. You can't give them everything at once. You don't get a drink out of a fire hose. And sometimes we're wanting to give everything we know that's taken us 50 years to learn. We try to teach somebody that has never opened the Bible, we try to teach them everything in one session in an afternoon. Take a little bit at a time. In Acts 35, we see this example with Philip and the eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture where the eunuch was studying in Isaiah, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And we know the result. Later in their study, as they came to water, see, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he wound up being baptized. And he was in Isaiah. Philip taught him what he needed to know. Not everything at once. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11, Paul wrote, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children." That's how you teach the gospel. With the same motive as a father does his children. The same tenderness that a father and mother teach their children. Not everything at once. Not, you disagree, so I'm done with you. In Philippians 4:9, Paul wrote, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." We see here how Paul taught. Things you heard and saw in me. He not only preached the word, the sound doctrine, he lived it. That is so important, because I tell you, even children, if you're preaching something and not living up to it, they see it. They see hypocrisy a mile away. People do. And Paul says, the things you heard and saw in me, these do. Preach it, but also live it. Why? Why do we preach that word? And he explains it in verses 3 and 4. It's because of false teachers. Wolves that are in sheep's clothing. For the time will come, and this is scary, and I hope, as Judge Judy says, put your listening ears on. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Their own desires. Because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. You're not teaching the things we want to hear. So we'll get teachers that will. We'll just surround ourselves with all the good stuff. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In our era, well, let me go back for just a second. During this era, there was false doctrine being taught. And within just years after the church was established, Judaizing teachers saying that you've got to maintain Judaism to be a Christian. That you've got to still be circumcised and keep, you know, attend the feasts and the dietary restrictions. There were people that were being drawn to the philosophy of that environment. We covered that today in our Bible class. Don't be fooled by empty deceit and philosophy. Well, our era is no different. The issues may be different, but the consequences are the same. I look back at just the last 30, 40 years, in the church. Many of you may remember back in the 70s and 80s, something that was very scary in the church called the Crossroads Boston Movement, which was about control of Christians. Look some of these things up. You've got the outline. Later today at your own leisure, look some of these things up. Just Google them and see. Don't take my opinion for them. You see for yourself what the dangers of these were as a Christian. There's something right now called the New Hermeneutics. A different way to interpret the Bible. Why? Because the old way we don't like. That's all it is. Postmodernism. There's no truth. Truth for you is different than truth for you. We can all get to the same place, just different roads. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where that is sound. Unity and diversity. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, let's all have unity, even though we have diverse beliefs. Let's unify, even though we are diverse. We're not talking about diversity like male, female, different races, different ages, different likes. We're talking, let's put aside our differences of doctrine. Doctrine! For the sake of unity. We can only have unity through sound doctrine. Amen. You know who coined that phrase? Unity and diversity? Karl Marx. Not one of the Marx brothers. Karl Marx of the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx. Social gospel. Preaching pop psychology. Preaching warm, fuzzy, feel-good sermons. Those are nice to preach. You don't step on any toes. Everybody, you know, get maybe a couple of chuckles here and there, full of nice stories, real light on scripture. Look these things up and see what the world teaches about these things. There is nothing sound doctrine about them. And we go back and finish up with our main passage. I'm going to read it again. Listen to the importance of it. Paul, this is the last letter Paul wrote before he was martyred. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you want sound doctrine preached here. And if I ever strayed, I know you would correct it. I thank you for that. If you need, went a little over today. I'm sorry. Hope your stomach's not growling. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there is sin in your life that you need to repent of, don't let another minute go by without getting your heart right with God. If you have not been baptized, don't take another minute being not in Christ. When you're buried in baptism with Christ, you're being covered with His blood. You're being forgiven of your sins. if you're not baptized in the way prescribed in the Bible, you're not saved. If you need prayers of the congregation, we came to God together on behalf of a few Christians. If you need prayers, please let those needs be known. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation as we stand and sing.